Warning. The following broadcast you're about to listen to is filled to the brim with explicit adult language and content. Don't like it? Don't listen to it. Don't complain about it. Just ignore it. If you like it or don't mind it, then listen up and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Monday, July 19th, 2021. This is episode 95, and wait a second. That is 3 years, isn't it? Oh, damn it. Now you need to double check this. I don't know why this didn't pop up into my head until right after I start recording. You know, it just wouldn't be as funny, apparently, to the universe if I couldn't make myself sound somewhat dumb. Yeah! 7/19/18. Happy fucking birthday to this goddamn podcast. 3 years. Woo! Still not making money off it. Aw. But that's all right. That's not why I do this in the first place. But it'd be nice. So if anybody listens to this is like, hey, this guy maybe should make money doing this, because why the fuck not? You know, feel free, hit me up, we'll work something out. So, but yeah, because I still don't have a Patreon or anything. I really should look into that again, but, whatever. Anywho, so yeah, apparently it's this podcast's third birthday today, so I planned something super special in that I didn't. And I took a nap today after work because I felt really crappy and was very, very tired. So I'm actually getting this started later than I intended. I don't even know if I'll get it finished on the 19th. It may be published on the 20th, in which case, you know, this will just sound kind of weird to be like, what? You know, this is not Monday. I get that. But we'll see. We'll see where we go and stuff. You know, with today's episode, so, yeah. But, what's going on in my neck of the woods? Well, for starters, apparently this podcast is 3 years old, and I took a nap today, and so I don't have anything planned that's special or whatever else, so, yay, there's that. Beyond that, you know, I've done a little bit more hobbying, trying to get some last-minute stuff ready for this league. There's a few models that I wanted to start painting, specifically because they're in sub-assemblies right now. There's enough of them put together that you could play them, and they're very obvious what they are. But still, I don't like playing games with, you know, I don't mind playing games with plastic. I don't really want to play stuff with sub-assemblies, though, if possible. That's just personal preference, maybe. I don't know. But I might not be able to anyways. But that being said, I got everything that I need for this first round, at least mostly built, you know, everything but these few Celestian Sacrosaints, whatever you want to call them. I don't have them fully assembled because of the shields. They cover up a good portion of the model, and it would make it a bitch and a half to try and paint. And I don't need every fucking detail and stuff. I'm going, you know, I'm playing the damn game with these things. I'm not looking to enter Golden fucking Demon or shit with it, but still, I'd like to have them at least not have random unpainted spots that might be visible from certain angles. So, yeah, I would like to at least get them done up enough before I put the shields on that I can feel confident saying, yep, that part looks okay enough that even if somebody looks close enough, they won't notice anything. So, my lovely wife has actually been painting her orcs. She started painting yesterday or the day before while I was at work. I think it was yesterday, if I remember correctly. You know, she hasn't had a ton of experience with painting and stuff, as I think I mentioned before, but her control has definitely already shown great improvement really quickly. So, she's painting them in contrast primarily. And I will say that she's using Warp Lightning for their skin, I know there is one called Orc Flesh that we do not have. I'm pretty sure there is one anyways. We don't have that, but that's okay because that Warp Lightning shit, it looks really fucking good. So if you're looking for a quick, you know, way to paint some orcs up and, you know, want to get that skin looking extra primo, like, yeah, like I said, the contrast stuff, actually, it does some good work on that. So look into it. Consider it. So, yeah, beyond that, we've been practicing games a little bit here and there. We're probably going to practice some more up to Thursday, because Thursday, we both have scheduled, well, we've scheduled all the games for ourselves and the rest of the people in the pairing, too. You know, they've got all their shit kind of straightened out, that the intention is hopefully both pairings will be able to sit down at the same place Thursday night. And we'll all be able to get all of our games out of the way for this round and, you know, move on. And if not, we'll at least have most of them covered and just be able to do some cleanup at a later date. So, it's hopefully what's going to go well. Time is going to be of the essence since it will be on a weeknight, you know, people's work schedules and so on and so forth. You know, and plus the place we're playing is only open until 10. You know, because of work schedules and stuff, most people aren't going to be able to be there until, you know, 6 or later. So, we'll have to see how that goes down. You know, time will tell. Time will tell. So, but yeah, I think that's about it that's going on in my neck of the woods. So, yeah, let's move on. As far as the newsy bits goes, before I get into the actual, you know, models and all that good jazzaroo, I will say that video game wise, the DLC, I think this is supposed to be the last DLC for Total War Warhammer 2. Man, my brain just on me. For Total War Warhammer 2, that is out now, The Silence and the Fury. I believe that is the last one before 3 comes out, if I recall correctly. We shall see. But, yeah, so there's that. And then in a couple days, this Thursday, the 22nd, Battle Sector will release. I think that's PC only. I don't remember off the top of my head. But either way, it's coming out. It is set during the devastation of Baal. So Blood Angels, Tyranids, they're also going to have Sisters of Battle in there too. Turn-based tactical type game. And from what I've seen in the reviews so far, has been really well received. So I know there's a lot of Warhammer games coming out nowadays. A lot of them tend to launch pretty buggy. And also, too, some of them are indeed underwhelming, bugs or not. They're just kind of a whatever type of game. It sounds like Battle Sector is really nailing it. So, but let's get going on these newsy bits. So, as far as stuff goes, there is one super stupidly negative thing we're going to talk about, but we'll get to that near the end of the newsy bits. I was about to start there. I was like, nope, halt. Let's move on for right now. Yeah, so we have pre-orderable Sturfs. Where did that go? Dang it. No. I clicked on the wrong thing. Man, welcome to the third birthday thing. It's a fucking mess. Let's see here. Sunday, no, is that right? I guess? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, okay, so pre-orders obviously are coming up next weekend. Well, I don't want to talk about this week's pre-orders. We'll get into that in a moment. Next weekend, yes. All right, I got confused. I'm sorry. I'm stupid. Let's move on. Nothing to see here, folks. So, they are splitting up the Dominion box into 3 separate editions, not unlike what they did with Indomitus. Although, like Indomitus, it looks like there's no way to get all the same stuff that you got in Dominion if you didn't buy Dominion. So, although I will say that one of these starter kits had some stuff that I'm like, ah, dag, yo, that would have been nice to have in Dominion too. So, but it is what it is. You've got, the starter set Warrior, the starter set Harbinger, and the starter set Extremis. The extremist one actually includes Terrain. I don't think it's, it might, is that the full set? Because there's another Terrain set thing, too, that they're releasing. The Realmscape expansion set. It looks like it's the same stuff, or very close to the same stuff. It's pretty cool that they are including Terrain with it and stuff. Kind of a shame that it's not included in Dominion, but, you know, that is what it is. My phone thinks it's charging even though it's not. Well, no, it's just a weird notification. Let's move on. I'm getting distracted by all sorts of notifications and stuff. So that is going to be coming out. They're also releasing the Malign Sorcery and Forbidden Powers. They're doing re-releases, basically, of them. They're getting released in a pair of packs, as they call it, with the fucking endless spells and all that shit that was included with them. So that's pretty neat. And then earlier today, they did show off a new Thousand Suns character model, the Infernal Master. As we all know, Thousand Suns is coming up here sometime in the near future. They showed off a Grey Knights model last week. Last week, Monday. So they showed off a Thousand Suns one this week, Monday. Man, I just yawned, even after taking a fucking nap. Like, what the fuck? Anywho, Dude Man McGee here is all specializing in that demonology. He even summons little mini screamers. In such a way that looks like he's kind of like frisbee, you know, like disc golfing them in a way. I don't know. It's a pretty cool looking model, I think. It's kind of different. His arm is held out in a rather awkward fashion, very straight, with fingers very straight and stuff. But I'm pretty sure that's done with the intention of him being like chopping the air to, you know, using his demonology powers to cut a tear through reality or some dumb shit. I don't know. Either way, he looks pretty cool overall. Despite the fact that it looks like there's some weird anal beady looking things hanging off of his staff. I think it's meant to be like a rosary type of thing. I think it's meant to look like a scarab at the end of it. It's just an awkward angle on one of the pictures. I was like, what the hell was that? So he looks like a pretty cool model. I don't know if they mentioned anywhere in here. Yeah, there's nothing in here as far as like estimates on timetables for that Thousand Suns launch. I would guess next month. Would be my guess, but I don't have anything definitive to go off of for that. So looks cool. And speaking of things that look cool, there's going to be two models available for limited time made to order, starting on July 24th, only available for 9 days, one for Age of Sigmar, and that would be the Knight Questor Dacian Anvil. I'm gonna go with Dacian Anvil. He's a Stormcast, you know, he's a guy, and he's got a hammer, and he's got a sword, and he's all, look at me, I'm cool. It's a cool looking model. And the other one is Lord Hasmatef the Resplendent, which, if the name did not indicate to you, is a Necron Lord. I will say, like, neither model has, like, a really crazy, like, posy type of thing going on. Like, any sort of, nothing that really separates it from the rest of the crowd, per se. But they just do look well done, you know. If anything, the Lord kind of looks nice in his more, straight stature sort of look. He's not totally, like, just straight up and down. But he's got a very imposing look to him without him being in a lot of dynamic motion. There's enough dynamic motion there that makes the imposing robotic still nature of the model himself look more imposing even, I would say. So between the two, I really like this one more, though both are good models. So they were originally meant to be event models, but in case, you know, you didn't know, there was this thing going on that still is going on, by the way. But there was this thing that was more going on, according to things, last year called COVID. So a lot of events didn't happen. So now they're just doing these as a made-to-order, but they're only going to be for 9 days. So there is no, there's no like limit on how many. To from what they've said, it's just 9 days. That's how long you have to order it. And yeah, if you want to get in on it, get in on it. It does say on Sunday, August 1st at 6 p.m. British time, British summertime, I think is what that BST stands for. Bullshit time. Wow. My voice just cracked really bad. Whatever. 6 p.m. bullshit time on Sunday, the 1st of August, which I believe is 1 p.m. here if you live in the Eastern time zone of the colonies. So, but yeah, it's, they look cool. There's no price here or anything like that. So just keep an eye on the website this weekend. And we'll then go for there. All right. Also, another new thing they showed off today was the big bad duder for the new Cruel Boys. So each Age of Sigmar army has to have some big giant centerpiece model. And that's this dude. He is the Mouth of Mork. His name is Gobsprack. Where's the full name? Yeah, Gobsprack, the Mouth of Mork. And he's riding atop this giant corpse ripper vulture named Killabeak, which is just what it sounds like. It's a giant vulture. So dude's riding around on top of it. He's got, his throne that's covered in all sorts of weird grisly trophies and stuff. He's got like multiple hands specifically. So apparently Mork is a big fan of collecting hands. Yeah, dude's all like, I got magic powers and I'm going to fuck with your shit and I'm riding on a giant vulture. So pretty cool. You can build alternatively, different vulture. It's pretty much the same, but they do have some different head options, it looks like. And you can put a killer boss on top of it instead if you want more of a generic character option. Looks cool in my opinion. Kind of interesting, the whole giant vulture thing, but I would say if you're into the Cruel Boys, worth checking out. In particular, he's got some good anti-wizardy bits, so definitely makes that more interesting. So, all right, lastly, as far as the newsy bits are concerned, the Beast Snaggas, holy fuck. Goddamn. All right. So, GW, where the fuck do I begin here? GW, quit your shit, okay? This has gone on way too long. This has been getting worse and worse and worse with each limited edition launch you do. And especially right now, because of everything that happened with COVID and whatnot, a lot of like local game stores don't have pre-order. Okay, I did forget to mention, what's the fucking problem? It's because you can't fucking get one. All right. A lot of local game stores, at least in my area, what few were doing pre-orders were out like instantly. There were several, or at least there was one that I actually talked to personally who was not even doing pre-orders because he didn't even have allocations. I hope that means he's still going to get something in stock because I would really like to get this box set for Krista. So she can have that goddamn 9th edition codex, and I mean, mind you, they're going to probably release the codex a month or two down the road. So it's not like it's going to be, forever without it, but it's still frustrating and annoying that that people even have to fucking wait in the first place because GW couldn't be bothered to make enough of these fucking things. And they keep the allocation so tight. They have everything set up in such a screwed up, fucked up fashion. I've seen copies of this shit selling on eBay. I was going to say selling. I should say up on eBay currently. I haven't actually looked at completed and sold listings, but I'm seeing copies of these that you can pre-order from people who already scalped the shit out of them for like $400-$500. And it's like, the fuck is the point of that shit? You know, once these models are all released, they're not going to be worth $400-$500. You know, at least I would assume that all these models will be available. Well, they might not be. Because I'm thinking about the Sisters box set, and a lot of those are monoposed specifically to the box set. But they're also releasing a bunch of them finally. And more to the point is the fact that you can still buy all of the things that came in that Sisters set. When they launched all the rest of the Sisters stuff, all of it had stuff that you could buy. So it's not like you could only get the Penitent Engine and could only get a Canonist and could only get this and only that if you bought that box. It was available separately. You know, these scalpers are doing this so that people pay exorbitant prices to get shit now. You know? And because it's got a limited edition cover. I could give two fucks less about the cover. I could give two fucks less about the fact that, you know, you get a bunch of models that aren't available currently that will probably come out later. It's that fucking rule book and the data cards. I'm actually actively pointing at my screen at the things that I'm talking about like an idiot here right now because nobody can see what I'm doing. But it's that fucking codex and that fucking data card set that I want. I want to get my hands on those so that Krista can have that shit for the league. And admittedly, yeah, all the Beast Snagaboys too in the process, cool. She's got more shit she can use if she wants to use it during the league. And if she doesn't, well, she has it to use around here or when she does one-off other games. Whatever. Fuck it. But yeah, $400, $500? Fuck you. Like, seriously. Fuck you. Fuck your couch. Fuck the goddamn horse you rode in on. You're a total waste of oxygen and a total piece of shit for doing this. And GW, shame the fuck on you again. Seriously. Pre-order now. I even just, I was at work on Saturday, so I couldn't be, like, you know, sitting there waiting to queue up. Yeah, they had that whole queue system set up again. I couldn't sit there waiting to queue up at fucking 1 o'clock because I was fucking at work. But I wasn't out too much later than that. And, you know, I started queuing up and fully expecting, it's been like 40 minutes or whatever since that shit dropped. I'm sure it's gone. And sure as fuck, you know, I finally get through this queue after 30 minutes of waiting in the queue. I don't think it was quite that long, maybe closer to 20. And sure as fuck, it's gone. I'm not shocked. I wasn't like, oh man, what a surprise. No, I fully fucking expected it because this is bullshit. The fact of the matter is, if anybody is scalping the shit out of these and making money, you can almost guarantee they have some way around the queue thing. I don't know exactly how the queue thing works. But if I had to guess, they probably, you know, it's probably per computer IP address or not just computers, but per your IP address. And then if you're using like a fucking VPN or something like that, you could probably get around that fucking problem. So you could have multiple systems all like just chilling out. And if you're going to make shit tons of buku bucks scalping the shit out of stuff, you're going to have multiple systems with VPNs and everything else set up so that you could do this shit. That's speculation though. Even if, you know, we'll just say each scalper only bought fucking one, which I know for a fact they fucking didn't. But we'll just say each of them only got their hands on the one and called it a day. I don't know if there was there was some sort of limit on these box sets, but I doubt it was only one apiece. The point is that GW keeps generating a worse and worse and worse scalping environment by doing this shit. Why is this not made to order? You know, why the fuck didn't they make this to order like they did fucking Indomitus? You know, when Indomitus came out and they announced that they were doing made-to-order copies of it right then and there, that was awesome. That really, you know, because all these scalpers had bought all these fucking copies so that they could turn around and flip them, only to find out, wait, anybody can get this shit? I just spent a shit ton of money on something that I can't do shit with. Yeah, you know why? Because go fuck yourself. That's why. But this, no. This is, no, absolutely not. This is an absolute disgrace, a load of horse shit, and I hope GW does something about it. Maybe they are going to announce a made-to-order setup for this, you know? They know that they're making mad money off of this shit, right? Okay? They blatantly know, hey, if I create artificial scarcity, a bunch of assholes are going to buy my shit. But I've talked about this before. With every single time that they fucking scalp this shit, I've talked about this shit. The fact of the matter is that if you make something this limited, say, just for easy math, you say 100 of them, right? I know there's far more than 100, but we'll just say 100 of them at $200 a piece. Not including profit margins and so on and so forth. We're just talking about the straight up sales numbers. At $200 a piece, you're looking at $20,000, right? Once again, I understand that's not the case. And yeah, because of the extremely limited scarcity of it, you might have $20,000 in your pocket in like a couple minutes. Just boom, there you go, $20,000. And I can guarantee you that they did that in within minutes. But all the same, you know, they got that, but that's it. That's done. Now the scalpers are going to take that shit and they're going to turn around and sell it for $400-$500. So they're going to profit just as much, if not more, than GW did off of the product in the first goddamn place. And then to top it off, you know, say I decide, fuck it, I'm not waiting, I'm not going to see if this comes out in some other fashion, blah, 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 I got to have this, you know, I don't want to miss out, because that's part of the problem, is, you know, you do feel like, fuck, I am fucked, I didn't get the thing, I really wanted the thing, what do? You know, and if I can afford it, then fuck it, but I'm not going to, but I'm just saying, for argument's sake, let's say I go ahead and spend that $500, right? That is $300 of hobby money that I did not have to spend, and that's not including any discounts and stuff. A lot of my local game stores do discounts, and GW fucking doesn't put shit on sale. But anyway, moving on. The point is that's $300 of my hobby money that I could have spent on other shit from GW, and I can't, because I spent it buying this fucking box at a fucking crazy-ass markup from some fucking scum-sucking scalper on fucking eBay. Okay? So, yeah. GW, make fucking more. Make a lot more. I mean, for Christ's sake, you have got to have some rough idea of how popular your products are. I would think that you would be able to go, huh, we seem to sell a lot of these. Maybe we should fucking make more of them next time. Or, hey, we've got like a shit ton of people all over the world who keep buying our orc shit. Let's make enough orc shit to cover those people. Maybe not the exact number and stuff, obviously, but not this. And if you know you have this massive rabid fan base, take advantage of that. Put out more product. Your rabid fans are going to buy it from you. They are absolutely going to buy it from you. They don't want to pay scalpers for this shit. You know? They will buy it from you so that the scalpers don't. If there's enough of them to go around, the scalpers will back down. And the actual customers that are going to pay you for them. And they're going to pay you, you know, you're going to make more money off of them. You know, directly. Because you made a lot more copies, and then those same people are going to have more money in their pockets for other hobby products, so they're going to spend more on your shit, okay? So, come on, this has got to fucking stop. This is fucking stupid. So, anywho, you know, hashtag rant over, or slash rant over, or you know, brackets slash rant over, whatever you want to fucking call it. I'm done ranting about that shit. So, but we're going to go ahead and take a break. After the break, well, I'm actually going to record the other half of this episode tomorrow, because I am indeed out of time today. So yeah, I know I said it was Monday, July 19th, 2021, but this is going to be published on Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. But yeah, so once again, happy birthday to the Vox. I hope you're all enjoying this. gonna go ahead and roll that beautiful beam footage that is my commercial break, and then after that we will time travel into the next day. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. I had a bit of an extended break, as you know, you probably noticed when I finished the first part before the break. Anywho, it's now Tuesday, the 20th, so welcome to the future, I guess. But yeah, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue on with the Adeptus Sororitas coverage here. It's going to start off with the Minoris convictions and just kind of work my way forward, admittedly. We might cover some ground that we already did as far as like going back and forth, you know, to point out specifics and stuff. But we'll cover some things probably more in depth and whatnot than we did if we were bouncing back and forth earlier. So, but yes, let's go ahead and get this ball rolling here. Now, the Minoris convictions are just like the whole, you know, Build-A-Bear style of shit that they've got going on with chapter tactics and whatnot. Basically, pick out two things, and these things become your specific sub-factions' capabilities. Some of them are limited to one, though, so let's get going here. So we're going to start with the Shield of Aversion. Each time an attack with an armor penetration characteristic of neg 1 is allocated to a model with this conviction, that attack has an armor penetration characteristic of 0 instead. Now, I've actually been putting some more thought into that whole concept lately. I don't remember what it was that I was reading that it triggered this thought process and stuff, but getting that neg 1 down to a 0 is very, very useful. You know, when you think about power armor specifically, you know, if you're okay, so take for example orcs. Orcs have a 6+ armor save, right? It sucks. If you get hit with a neg 1 weapon, you just don't get an armor save unless you have an invulnerable save. You just, that's it, done. You know, you're fuck out of luck. But realistically speaking, the likelihood of succeeding on a 6+ isn't that great anyways, so it's not like a huge loss or whatever. And then there's the advantage of if you get hit by like a neg 4 weapon, it doesn't fucking matter. It's, you know, you are already a 6+ anyway, so boo fuckity who. And then when you think about power armor being a 3+, the loss of efficacy going from 3+ to 4+, you know, you got a 66% chance down to a 50% chance. It's quite the significant jump when you think about it. Now, mind you, a 1 in 6 chance down to a 0, obviously 0 is much less as well. But when your odds aren't really in your favor anyways, it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. You know, but those 3+, when they become 4+, that does hurt, you know. So, and also, too, there's a lot of weapons that do neg 1 in this game. And that's kind of like their advantage. They've added a lot more weapons in the game that do that nowadays. Even just standard weapons on standard troops models. There's quite a few of them that can do a neg 1 in some capacity. So being able to just flat out negate that means that many of your opponents are going to lose that advantage that they have with those models, and you know, that's going to be a pretty big hit for them, you know, especially if you you know, think about the fact that they're probably, you know, they probably picked this army and are hinging their strategy to some degree on being able to plow through your armor save. At least, you know, ping it, you know, if you can mass fire a bunch of neg one shit, then cool. But if it doesn't do anything different, then they're probably paying extra points for something that comes with a more powerful gun that doesn't mean shit, against you. Now, mind you, the sisters are toughness 3 to begin with, so, they're pretty squishy, but still, being able to have at least some form of armor save reduction, is, or excuse me, AP reduction, just makes them far more survivable. So, personally, I think it's pretty useful overall. Anything above that, it'd be nice if it was just lower the AP value of anything by one. But that's not the case here. It is very specific. So neg two and better just doesn't do anything. But it is what it is. As a side note, if I sound really stuffy, I apologize. I think it's just allergies and also too, just, dealing with general human filth day in and day out. Just a bit of a, yeah, my sinuses hate me. So I do apologize if I'm sniffly or stuffy sounding. So moving on. Hallowed Martyrs. Each time an attack is made by a model with this conviction, if that model's unit is below its starting strength, add one to that attack's hit roll. So this is just the copy paste from the Order of Our Martyred Lady. I found so far playing with Order of Our Martyred Lady, it's pretty useful. Overall, it's just a matter of remembering to use it. But, you know, when you consider that most of the sisters are hitting on threes, and if there's a canonist nearby, then they are hitting on threes, rerolling ones. But if you can add one to your attack's hit roll, then even two ups, you know, get, you know, you can succeed on a two up and then reroll your ones. Because I'm pretty sure it's unmodified rolls that are rerolled. Let me double check here. I could be mistaken. No, it just says reroll a hit roll of one. All right, I'm going to have to look into that a little bit further. I might be mistaken about the ability to reroll. But still, you know, improving up to a two up just means even if your canonist isn't nearby, you still have improved odds regardless. So, but yeah, admittedly, I thought it was unmodified, but that does not seem to be the case. So I might be wrong in that line of thinking. Damn. Anywho, moving on. Conviction of Faith. If every unit from your army that has an order conviction has this conviction, each time you gain a miracle die, if the value of that die is a one, you can re-roll that dice before adding it to your miracle dice pool. So, admittedly, I've in my practice games and everything else, I am having a hell of a time trying to remember to use my fucking miracle dice and roll for my miracle dice and, you know, just get use out of them. So I think this would be great if I could remember to do it. Devout Fanaticism. Each time a unit with this conviction fights, if it made a charge move, was charged, or performed a heroic intervention this turn, then until that fight is resolved, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, add one to that attack's hit roll. You cannot select this conviction if you've already selected the Holy Wrath conviction, which we'll get into here in a moment. Same deal, being able to improve hit rolls is a plus. Useful if you are really focusing on using, you know, Repentia and stuff like that. So, guided by the Emperor's will, each time a unit with this conviction is selected to shoot or fight, you can reroll one hit roll or one wound roll when resolving that unit's attacks. I've noticed that, like, when Krista was doing some of her practice games, she was tried out Death Skulls, and there were some major advantages to playing as Death Skulls. She's going with Goths now, just because it fits her playstyle a little bit better. Yeah, the ability to just pick a random hit roll or wound roll, like if you had a really crucial roll that you wanted to try and get off, you know, she would give that a spin, and most of the time it wouldn't change anything because orcs can't hit the broadside of a fucking barn. You know, there's a couple times where it was like, yeah, you know, that clutch shot there, you got it now. So, Holy Wrath is the next one. So this is the one that doesn't work with Devout Fanaticism. Each time a model with this conviction makes a melee attack, if that model's unit made a charge move, was charged, or perform a heroic intervention this turn, improve that attack's armor penetration characteristic by one. So similarly to the Shield of Aversion, being able to improve AP by one on your end has a major advantage. Although, once again, depending on who you're battling, it may be more or less advantageous. The big thing here that you'll notice, if you are looking at the book, those two, the Holy Wrath and the Devout Fanaticism, those two combined are the Order of the Bloody Rose. That is the two things, the Quick to Anger. Those are the two things that are part of it. I think it's I get why they don't want you to do that combined to a degree, because then they're like, well, use Order of the Bloody Rose. But, I mean, if you're not smart enough to look at both of those and then still decide to do Order of the Bloody Rose so you have access to other shit, then that's your fault. All those, you know, so stratagem is really the only thing that you would, you know, be a I must have. Not that Beneficence and Blazing Ire are useless by any stretch, far from it. But if you're not planning to use those, then not as big of a deal. But still, point being, if you're looking at this going, damn, I wish I could put those two together, you can. Just play Order of the Bloody Rose and be done with it. So, next, In the Footsteps of Saints. This is a bigger one here. Oh, okay. So the reason it looks bigger is it's just simply pick out an order and you're that order. Order of Martyred Lady, Valor's Heart, Bloody Rose, Ebon Chalice, Argent Shroud, or Sacred Rose. So, yeah, you can just pick one of them and you're now you rolling with those. Okay. Perfervid? Each time a model or unit with this conviction performs an act of faith, you can first discard a miracle dice. If you do so, one miracle die using that act of faith is considered to be a 6, irrespective of its actual value. Useful if you've got a bunch of ones, which when I have been remembering to use my miracle dice and roll them, I almost have exclusively gotten ones. So maybe I should consider doing this, just because it's kind of crappy to end up like that. Purifying recitations. Each time a deny the witch test is taken for a unit with this conviction, add 3 to the result. This is not cumulative with any other rule that adds to the result of a deny the witch test, such as pure of will. You know, if you're expecting to go up against a bunch of psychers, fuck yeah, bring it on. Improving your deny the witch, this is one of the things that Adeptus Sororitas really has going for them, is the ability for the whole, or most of the fucking army at least, to fucking cancel out, you know, psychic powers. You could deny the witch on pretty much everything in this fucking army, which is really cool. It's pretty weak sauce, but what is cool about it is that if you roll a 6, if I'm remembering correctly, if you roll a 6, you just, boom, you deny them regardless. That is definitely a boon there, but once again, opponent specific is the most important fact. So, Raging Fervor. Each time a model with this conviction makes an attack with a melted weapon, the target of that attack is considered to be within half range for the purposes of that weapon's abilities if that weapon has the pistol or assault type, and that weapon has the heavy type, and the target unit is within 18 inches of the firing model. You cannot select this conviction if you've already selected either the Rites of Fire or Unshakable Vengeance convictions. So, if you're planning to bring a fuck ton of Meltas, boom, there you go. That's a, you know, pretty decent option. If you're not planning to bring a fuck ton of Meltas, why the fuck would you pick this? So, just keep your list in mind, whether you're going to do that or not. Rites of Fire. Add 4 inch to the range of all flame weapons that models with this conviction are equipped with. Now, if, bleh, I don't know why my words were just like, yeah, so I can see why they don't want you to combine these, because actually I just looked at the Unshakable Vengeance, and I'm seeing what it is. Basically, they don't want you to make Retributors good again, okay? 8th edition, Retributors were just pants on head ridiculousness. The ability to just fire, on the move, extended range, special stratagems that do this, that, and the other thing, like, it was nuts. I have 2 squads of Retributors specifically because of how good they were in 8th, and now in 9th, fuck. They're not terrible, they're just nowhere near what they were. And they're trying to avoid players putting... They wanted these traits to be available. They don't want you to be able to stack them specifically so you can't just make Retributors just this fucking, you know, implacable bunker of death that's just going to sit and just dish out bullshit left, right, and sideways. So So I get it, but it sucks. Righteous suffering. Each time an attack is made against the unit with this conviction, an unmodified wound roll of 1 or 2 for that attack fails, irrespective of any abilities that the weapon or the model making the attack may have. Okay, so here's my problem with this. 1 through 3 being ignored? Super fucking useful. 1 through 2? Yeah, it is useful. It is very useful. Don't get me wrong. You know, how many times is somebody going to really be like, man, I'm going to fire my fucking, you know, multi-melta or laser destroyer or whatever else right at your fucking toughness 3 sister squad just chilling out there. Like, yeah, okay, you know, if you're going to pump out a shit ton of shots, that might be worth it and stuff. But yeah, realistically speaking, a lot of things are not going to, a lot of your standard weapons that you're going to really be wanting to pummel the shit out of sisters with anyways, they're not going to be strength 6 or higher on average. Most of the time you're going to want to shoot at heavier targets with strength 6 or higher. Now, mind you, there are a few things that the sisters have, namely characters and stuff, that you may want to hit with those type of weapons, because you might be trying to smoke them out and just, you know, snipe them down with some heavy firepower when you get the opportunity. In general, shooting big-ass guns against random squads of battle sisters and such, it's just not really worth it. A smart opponent isn't going to be bothered probably shooting their big giant guns at, you know, little squads of nuns that are only going to do so much to them. So, not terrible though, still being able to ignore two up, things is still a big deal. Don't get me wrong. The one to three blockage, that on the other hand is a huge difference. Particularly since with a toughness of 3, there's pretty much the whole fucking game worth of shit that is going to wound you on a 3 up. It's most of the fucking game. So being able to say, nope, that's not happening now, it's got to be a 4 up, is a big deal. So, something to keep in mind there. Next up, we have Slayers of Heretics. Each time a model with this conviction makes an attack against a character unit, add 1 to that attack's hit roll. So, if you're specifically trying to, take out enemy characters, that's good. A lot of people do have a lot of characters. I know my army is going to have a lot of characters and stuff, so that may not be bad. But smart opponents are going to keep the characters from being in danger in the first place. But in close combat, you know, that's where a lot of these characters are going to actually try to get to. Usually you're going to try and make sure that they don't get, you know, shot off the board, until they're ready to get up in somebody's guts. Being able to still get that, because it's not just on ranged weapons, it's on any attack. So being able to boost your attack hit roll, yeah, I would say that's pretty good, overall. So, next, Unbridled Valor. Each time a combat attrition test is taken for a unit with this conviction, add 1 to that combat attrition test. The combat attrition stuff is, I don't know. Personally, I haven't run into too many problems dealing with that. Unless a unit is getting really fucking raffle stopped, in which case it's probably dead anyways. So, Unshakable Vengeance. Each time a model with this conviction makes an attack with a bolt weapon, you can ignore any or all hit roll and ballistic skill modifiers. This is, once again, you combine it with fucking retributors, so that way they can't just move and shoot with their heavy bolters. So, you still could, you know, if they had this, but you're not going to be able to do that and use your multi-meltas and your flamers with extra bonuses too. Lastly, we have Witch Hunters. Each time a model with this conviction makes a melee attack against a Psyker unit, reroll a hit roll of 1. If the melee attack is made against a Psyker character unit, reroll a hit roll of 1 and reroll a wound roll of 1. Now, a couple things. It's very limiting. It is telling you Psykers are bust, which is very, very specific situations. They're going to come up, you know, it really is going to come up. But the other thing, though, too, this obviously doesn't affect every unit in the game, but in this army, but a decent portion of them. You combine a Canonist and a Palatine, if you have them close enough to whoever's doing the damage dealing against the Psyker, they get to reroll hits and wounds anyways. So it would depend on your list build and where they're located and shit like that, but for the most part, you know, when I've been playing, I've been trying to keep everything kind of, stuck together-ish, so that way my Canonist and Palatine can both offer their auras to units around them. It's definitely coming very handy. It has made my sister, even just, you know, the basic sister squad, really just nail the shit out of stuff, I would say that it is a good feature overall to have. It's a good conviction. That's the word I was looking for. It's a really good conviction, but only if you're going up against Psykers. Whereas using the Canonist and Palatine combo will do the same thing for any core units specifically. So that's the thing. This Witch Hunters affects everybody that has the conviction. Whereas the Canonist and Palatine auras only affect core units, but that means whether you're shooting, whether you're hitting in melee, whether they're a Psyker or a vehicle or a monster or a whatever, you'll be able to use the same bonus. So that's why personally, and also too, obviously, you got to keep stuff within range of each other, and depending on the size of the battle you're doing later, you know, when we get further down this league, the Canonist and Palatine auras, I am still tired from work. The Canonist and Palatine auras will not, they'll not be as useful on bigger maps, bigger battlefields, just because you won't be able to reach everything. But on, like, at this 500 points, we're playing on the standard 44 by 30. There's, you know, more than enough coverage between the two of them to get most of my army at one time. So, those are the Minoris convictions. So, we're going to go over one other part here before I bomb out on this episode here. I will be picking up the Codex Review next week. I'm hoping, I know I've talked about this many times before, I need to find a time to be able to just sit down and blast through a massive Codex Review, just record everything in advance. Probably piecemeal and stuff, but, I just need to figure that shit out, unfortunately. And between my work schedule and family schedule and stuff, it's just hard to fit in the time. Which, as a note, I just want to say before I move on, one thing that may not be obvious, like if you've looked at pictures or whatever that I've posted on the Vox page and stuff, that you could see that I seem to have like a living room or whatever in my background. And that's because I do. When I take pictures of myself sitting at my computer getting ready to record, that is my living room in the back. My computer and all my recording equipment is out in the open in the dining room. I don't have like a dedicated office space or something like that to do this in. So that really limits the times of day and such that I could do this without interrupting other people's lives and without them interrupting the podcast. So that's a major reason why some of this stuff has to be done in these smaller piecemeal things. If I had a private space to do all this in, then I would just, take a nap after work and then record later on if as need be, when schedule permitted, once again, too. But yeah, I don't like recording with other people in the house, just because I feel like, A, it's rude of me to just be sitting there with headphones on and yelling at the internet while other people are trying to enjoy their day. And B, I'd like to spend time with my family members. I have an affinity for them. I really seem to love all of them. So yeah, I'd like to spend time with them, and that's why I'm also not recording at those times. So, there's, I'm not trying to, like, be all like, oh, you know, leave me alone, or herpader. No, I'm just saying, you know, that's why things are the way they are. So, anywho, let's move on. We're gonna cover the blessings of the faithful quick, and then we will wrap this up for now. So blessings of the faithful is kind of like it's their character upgrade thing. You know, you've noticed this probably in all the new books, is that you can spend a little extra points on a character to give them some sort of boost. This is specific to Canonists or Palatines, either or can have these. And I think it's you can do as many as you want. Let's see here. Yeah, it does not say either way. Then you must give them one blessing. It doesn't say you can only... Yeah, it does say you can upgrade any Canonist or Palatine. So I would assume as many as you want. Though I don't know. Each model can only have one. Can that include the same blessing more than once? Yes. So there. Boom. Done. All right. So anyway, we've got 6 different ones available. And the way they work is each blessing of the faithful has 2 abilities. Okay. The first ability is, basically just like it's just a general ability they have throughout the whole match. Okay. But then there's a miraculous ability as part of it as well. Now, the way the miraculous ability works, is that in your command phase, you have to discard a miracle die. The ability is then activated, and lasts until the start of your next command phase. And each one can only be activated once per battle. You cannot activate more than one miraculous ability per battle round. So even if you have multiple sisters that have multiple blessings, only one of them can choose to use their miraculous ability per turn, end of story. And once again, you can't use the same one twice throughout a battle. So, now, all these miracle abilities have a range to them. The range is determined by the die you spent. So if you spend a 1, you get a 1-inch aura for whatever their ability is. 2 through 5 will get you a 3-inch, and a 6 gets you 6 inches. So keep that in mind when you go to use these, that you have to have the right miracle die to make it effective in the first place. So, but let's go ahead and start. Word of the Emperor is 40 points. At the start of the fight phase, you can select one enemy unit within 3 inches of this model. That unit is not eligible to fight this phase until all eligible units from your army have done so. So if you're planning on trying to hold somebody down that you normally would not want to have them fight in close combat, it's a good choice. Miraculous ability. While an enemy unit is within miracle range of this model, so yeah, some of these also affect enemies and not friendlies, but each time a model in a friendly order core or order character unit makes a melee attack against that enemy unit, they cannot use invulnerable saves. So yikes on bikes. That is a nasty piece of equipment. In my opinion anyways, that is rough. If you've got a Canonist who is tricked out to blend through the enemy, give her that word of the Emperor. She's just going to go ahead and mow through. She's going to be able to pin people down, basically. It does say order character unit too. So, she's technically within miracle range of herself if it's order character. So, yeah, she can ignore invulnerable saves then on top of that. So, you know, strap on a blessed blade or a relic of some sort of variety, get her into, you know, miracle range and let her have a fucking ball as she just fucking tears through everything in sight. So, moving on, Rapturous Blows for 25 points. Add 1 to the strength and damage characteristics of all melee weapons this model is equipped with, excluding relics. Womp womp. Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or order character unit is within miracle range, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack on an unmodified wound roll of 6, that attack inflicts 1 mortal wound in addition to the normal damage. Okay, so, you know, adding 1 to the strength, we've talked about this many times before, it can be nice, it depends on the situation. I mean, you're going to be equipping a cannonist with this or a palatine, so they're most likely going to have a special weapon that's already boosting their strength and shit anyways. And I almost just dropped my phone. Oh my god. I got notifications just blowing the shit up. So, anywho. Yeah, the boost to strength is not normally a huge deal. For sisters, it could potentially be more of a deal, given the fact that they are pretty weak, strength 3 and toughness 3. Being able to boost toughness or strength is actually more useful for them. When you have higher strength things, it doesn't really make that much of a difference in comparison. It can do something. It just normally doesn't do as much as you'd like it to. But improving damage characteristic, now that on the other hand is nice. And then on top, and I don't like though, as a note, I don't like that it's excluding the relics, but that's just, you know, personal preference. Anywho, but yeah, being able to inflict a mortal wound in addition to the normal damage, that would be a plus, especially if you're using the cannonist herself, and assuming she doesn't have a relic weapon of some sort, adding to her strength, adding to her damage characteristic, and then on top of that, if you roll that unmodified 6, you're doing extra damage on top of that. So if your weapon would normally do 1 damage, you're now doing 3 damage in total. So one of them being a mortal wound. So yeah. Divine Deliverance, which is 15 points. At the start of your opponent's command phase, select 1 enemy unit within 6 inches of this model and select 1 aura ability that unit has. Roll 3d6. If the result is equal to or greater than the enemy unit's leadership characteristic, then until the start of your opponent's next command phase, that enemy unit loses that aura ability. Very wordy and, you know, very specific thing, but you know, as I mentioned even earlier about like the cannons and palatine, an aura can really make or break your situation. So losing access to a potentially very powerful aura can really change your game. So yeah, being able to fuck with your opponent's shit like that is very good. Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or order character model is within miracle range of this model, each time that model makes a ranged attack, if that model causes an enemy model to be destroyed until the end of the turn, subtract 1 from that enemy unit's leadership characteristic. A unit's leadership cannot be reduced by more than 3 as a result of this miraculous ability. Once again, I don't find morale coming up as often as you think it would. Mind you, maybe you're going to see it more at higher points value games and stuff, but generally speaking, at these lower points, stuff's either getting wiped or it's left untouched, at least from my experiences. The Emperor's Grace is 20 points. At the start of each of your command phases, this model is healed and regains D3 lost wounds. Each model can only be healed once per turn. Alright, yeah, being able to just automatically get yourself up is really nice. Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or character unit is within miracle range, each time an attack is made against that unit, your opponent cannot reroll the hit roll, cannot reroll the wound roll, and cannot reroll the damage roll. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's really only useful, once again, in a clutch situation. Still, enemies being able to reroll shit can be really fucking annoying. So, Righteous Judgment for 25 points. Each time you select a target for this model's ranged weapons, you can ignore the Lookout Sir rule. Each time this model makes a ranged attack, an unmodified wound roll of 6 inflicts one mortal wound on the target in addition to any normal damage. Yikes. Okay, so the ability to just say, fuck your rules, I'm coming at you, is some cool shit. Sniper level shit. Now, mind you, your cannonists or Palatine are probably not rocking some super long-range weapons, so it's really going to typically be only useful up close and personal with their pistols. But still, you know, if you're able to pull out your plasma pistol and blow a hole through somebody's face because, well, now they can't use lookout, sir, yeah, that could, you know, potentially break your opponent's plans. Miraculous ability. While a friendly order core or order character model is within miracle range of this model, each time that model makes a ranged attack, the target does not receive the benefits of cover against that attack. So, being able to ignore the lookout, sir, as well as not receiving cover, can be very, very useful, depending on the enemy you're shooting at. But since you're shooting at characters, they're going to probably have a bunch of extra wounds. And so being able to just whittle that down quicker, whittle down their armor save if they're hiding in cover, etc., is very good. Lastly, we have Blinding Radiance for 30 points. So Blinding Radiance, each time a ranged attack is made against this model, subtract 1 from that attack's wound roll. That's pretty neat. And then, being able to just simply say, no, you're not wounding me because it's not enough. Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or order character unit is within miracle range of this model, each time a ranged attack is made against that unit, subtract 1 from that attack's hit roll. Made against. I misread that at first. I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. So once again, fucking with your enemy's shit, making it so that, you know, multiple units are at least being able to help avoid being hit. Unlike the, you know, subtracting 1 from the wound roll specifically for the character that has Blinding Radiance. Still very useful. So overall, I'm looking forward to messing around with the Blessings of the Faithful. For the build that I'm going for, admittedly, most likely going to want Word of the Emperor, but we will see. Time will tell. So, but that's all I'm going to cover for today. Next week, we'll probably get into it a little bit more. I doubt I will have time before Monday to do the extra recording to just cover the rest of this in full. But who knows, maybe Monday I'll have a bunch of extra time after work anyways and be able to pound out the whole rest of what I was looking to do. So, but thank you guys for listening. As always, you can follow me, facebook.com/theregimentalvoxpodcast. You can follow me on Twitter @regimentalvox. You can check out, the painting studio, Danger Close Painting Studio. I haven't updated it in a little bit, but still kicking, still doing shit. So, but yeah. So hit those up and help make me popular, I guess. I don't know. So, but anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you for listening. I will see you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.